Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, January 9th, 2019, episode 14.19, the Divisional Playoffs Show. The playoffs are rocking. Don't bother knocking. Just come on in. Wildcard weekend provided plenty of oohs, ahs, and in the end, the Colts, Cowboys, Chargers, and Eagles survived. We'll briefly look back on Wildcard weekend before looking ahead to the divisional playoffs. Head coaching jobs are being handed out like Oprah's doing it. You get a head coaching job. You get a head coaching job. You all get a head coaching job. And some of them are real head scratchers. We'll discuss some of those hirings and find out what the heck Cincinnati and Miami are waiting for. Then finally, Steve and I will get you ready for the divisional playoffs by picking which teams will move to the NFC and AFC championships game. Let's chomp it in. Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Steve Fry with NFL Rants and Raves. All right, welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steve Miranda.
I'm Steve Fry.
And wherever you are in this great world of ours and however you're listening to the show, we thank you and appreciate you continuing to listen through this NFL season. Look, Steve, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's going to be really weird, and you are going to have to bring your A game.
Oh, boy.
I am already feeling the fevers.
And there we go. Yeah.
The sweat. Beads that I mean, what we've been going, what, a minute and a half, 45
yeah.
seconds. And
so, what you're telling me this is this might be our shortest show yet.
I cannot shake this up. I finally went to the doctor and he's given me some meds, so I'm on some meds, but I've been kind of like sweating it out now. I'm like trying to get this sickness out of me. I hope I sound okay. Do I sound okay?
You sound fine.
All right, good. Yes. But yeah, it is a struggle to keep this level of energy up. The only thing keeping me up is the Cowboys got it. They did it. They beat the Seahawks. Almost nobody out there outside of Michael Irvin was giving them a chance to beat Seattle.
And the two of us.
Well, yeah. Well, of course, us.
We're important.
I mean, yeah, that's right. We should throw ourselves out there.
Michael should have been listening to us. Come
right.
On. I mean, never mind that I went 2-2 on the weekend, but come on.
Yeah. How did it feel that Lady Edith
went
3-1 on Wild Card Weekend, and you were only able to manage a 2-2.
Look, except for some fingertips, that's reversed.
That is true. You are correct there. I wound up 3-1, and I was actually very upset that I wasn't 4-0.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to be 4-0. If Doug Peterson does not do that pull the icing the kicker timeout nonsense,
yep.
I'm 4-0, and I'm feeling very good about how I've
I was going to be very happy with my 3-1 because
right.
because with that Chargers-Ravens game, Chargers didn't look 100%,
right.
but it appeared with the game plan they put out there with, what, 7 linemen?
Yes.
For the entire game?
That
they could play.
Make sure.
They could play 80%. And Lamar wasn't running anything.
They
so.
Were going to make sure that Lamar Jackson, they're like, if you're going to beat us, you're going to do it with your arm and not your legs.
Yeah.
They had a great game plan there.
Yeah, that was pure coaching, brilliance. It was fantastic. So I was okay losing that one, getting that one
right.
wrong. The Bears one, come on, Bears.
Yeah, that, I don't know. You're at home. Look, so quickly, Indy and Houston, that kind of played out the way we expected it. We
yep.
both had Indianapolis there. There's just something about Houston's offense right now that doesn't seem to me it scares anybody.
Right.
They'll
get the job done if the defense is doing their job.
Job correct.
But you get a defense that goes up against them. They disrupt that whole thing, and the game's
over. In this
over.
Particular instance, the Houston defense early on had no answer for Luck and the Colts, and the Colts jumped out to a 21-0 lead. And at that point, it's just like hit cruise control. Because there's no way Houston's coming back
right.
from a 21-point deficit.
Yep.
I don't care that they're at home. They just don't have the offense built for that.
Yep.
Now, get Deshaun Watson a couple more wide receivers. Get him a tight end he can rely on. Get him a star running back. then
as early as next season, we might see a change in that offense. But
the Colts were able to go in there and take care of business. Then Seattle, Dallas. Just like I said, everybody was like, "Oh, Seattle's running the ball great; they're fantastic." I was like, "They haven't been running against the Dallas Cowboys."
Right.
I think what they had 76 total offensive rushing yards. Yeah. Seattle, and they were averaging like a buck 70. So I really, honestly, there people thought that it was just, you know, homerism. I really was confident that the Cowboys would win that game. There was not going to be a problem.
Yep.
I
wasn't as confident, but clearly confident enough
to take them. I was annoyed that they allowed that cheap touchdown at the end of the game, and then allowed the 2-point conversion, which didn't allow them to cover the 2.5. That actually pissed me off quite a bit, but we won't go into that because that's another show. Chargers, Baltimore, we differed on this one. This is the only game we differed on last week. Something about Phillip Rivers and that Chargers offense right now that is telling me, look, their first three possessions, they went down and got into the red zone and had to settle for field goals. One, the Chargers now have a kicker who makes those field goals.
Yeah.
Previous seasons.
Has not always been the case.
That's true. And, you know, they're like, oh, man, they're going to lose by a field goal because the kicker didn't make that one. He makes three in a row. They finally get into the end zone. They get into a little rhythm. But the Chargers, for as close as the final score was, they controlled the majority of that game, and they really didn't have any problems. They had a game plan for stopping the Ravens' offense, and it looked good from beginning to end.
Yeah, Rivers looked very good. You know, the running game wasn't great. They only had 89 rushing yards.
Yeah.
So the rushing game for the L.A., I was going to say San Diego, Chargers, wasn't
good
all that great. I mean, Baltimore got 90 yards. Right, so
yeah, it was a good defensive ball, you know. But for the Chargers, once again, to
I mean,
go
Lamar
on the road,
Jackson still had 194 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. So I mean, he didn't necessarily have
the majority of that was in the fourth quarter.
Sure,
when it was predicated, we got to throw the football, we got to do something.
Yeah.
Then finally, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Chicago Bears in Chicago. I knew this was going to be a tight game. I didn't expect it to be as tight as it was. You got to, you know, hat tip to Nick Foles. They're down in the fourth quarter. They need a They need a touchdown. It's fourth and two, fourth and goal from the two. And after they started that drive with first and goal from the one, handed to my smallest running back on my team, he gets stopped for a loss. On second down, let's do it again just to see if maybe – you know,
maybe it'll work the second time. Yep.
Nope, he gets stopped again. Third down, it's an incomplete pass. Fourth and goal from the two, and you're like, this is it. This is how the Eagles are going to go down. They're not going to get this play. Somehow, I just felt the Bears defense are going to find a way to stop this, and he manages to hit Golden Tate on that out. They scored the touchdown, and they take the lead.
Which is what, the second reception Tate has had all season with them?
Yes. I mean, so then I think to myself, all right, you know, there's some time. I mean, you're saying, oh my God, you left too much time for Mitch Trubisky.
Right. Yeah.
But he didn't need to do really much because they put, which was a stroke of brilliance. I will give Nagy all the credit in the world. Let's throw Tariq Cohen back there to receive the kick, and off to the races. I thought he was actually going to take it to the house.
Yeah.
He doesn't. But then a few completions. They're in line to kick a game-winning field goal, and
what was the distance on that? It wasn't.
I think it was 37-yarder, 40-yarder, something like that.
It wasn't short, but it wasn't 55.
It was 42 yards because I remember telling Elena, it's a 40-yard. It's in the 40s. That means you got to make those.
Right.
They're like, 30s are chip shots. Those are almost automatic.
Yep.
50s. Now you're starting to be tough.
Yep.
If you're in the low 40s, that's a makeable kick. And then he makes it, but they called the timeout, the freezing of the kicker, the icing of the kicker.
Yeah.
But it wasn't iced. It got blocked. The second attempt, I swear it was going in when it went off his foot, and then it got tipped, and it just started fading, and it started fading.
It clearly wasn't a hard tip. I mean, it was a fingertip, just a little
touch. Just enough to make it start going
rotating
in the
ball
wrong,
separately or something
in the wrong direction, hits the upright, and you think still if it hits the upright, it might bounce in. It hit the upright and it sent it straight down to hit the crossbar,
which we needed to see from the blimp because NBC apparently didn't have any cameras on it.
It's the crossbar. And usually you think, okay, it hits the crossbar, it could bounce in.
Yep.
No, it hit the crossbar and it sent it all the way back to the 2-yard line.
Yeah.
So it had like no shot of going
and,
in.
And I know we're kind of making a big deal about the missed kick.
Yes.
Which, okay, you know, it's blocked.
Don't blame Cody Parkey.
Right.
Okay. Because he had 3 field goals earlier in the game that gave you the lead.
Right.
So it wasn't his fault.
You've got arguably the best defense in the NFL. You're the one that gave up the go-ahead touchdown to the Eagles at the end.
Yeah.
So I get that that's kind of the linchpin, that was the final play that everybody's going to lean on for the entire offseason for the Bears, but it was your defense that didn't come through in a clutch.
And it was your vaunted defense that,
right.
you know, had pretty much –
Your defense got you to where you are now,
right.
and they played a great game up until that point, and they just weren't able to pull it
so
off.
So that miss kicked – sent Dallas to Los Angeles and Philly to New Orleans instead.
Yep.
Now, I have to, you know, give credit where credit is due. This is Darren Revelle. If you don't know who that is, Darren Revelle, he's a money guy. He used to work for CNBC. Now he works for the mothership. And all he does is he takes sports items and relates them as to they relate financially, right?
Okay, yep.
He says, here's the power of the Dallas Cowboys. Love them or hate them, but here's the power of the Dallas Cowboys. Prior to that missed kick by Cody Parkey, the cheapest ticket you could get for the New Orleans Saints was right around $290. And the cheapest ticket you could get for the Rams game was about $160. The minute that kick was missed, the cheapest ticket for a Saint game went down to $165, and the cheapest Rams ticket, $380. Just like that, by moving where the Cowboys were going to go play, it fluctuated the ticket prices like super crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so... because people either love them or they love to hate them, and so they want to watch them lose. So you either want to watch them win or you want to watch them lose, but you want to watch them. That's the whole thing.
Well, if you hate them to the point where you really want them to lose, like I'm not a Cowboys fan.
Right.
Right. Back in the days of my youth,
there
was a bit of a rivalry here between the Packers
Cowboys
and Cowboys.
Packers?
That really
you couldn't beat us.
Yes, true.
In the playoffs.
Yeah, that's why it was a rivalry for me. For you, it was like, who? But I don't wish the Cowboys ill will. Like, I don't want them to lose.
Right.
But, I mean, to be fair, I didn't necessarily want the Bears to lose either. I mean, I wasn't rooting for them, but I wasn't rooting against them, which is odd to say. But it's – I don't know that if you really want the Cowboys to lose, are you paying – $380 or $500 or $750 or whatever for a ticket to the Coliseum
to
watch them lose? Maybe in a regular season game, but not in a playoff
game.
Not
a playoff where it's going to cost you.
That's going to be the Rams fans because LA fans only come out for what teams when they're in the playoffs in the first place. And then you're going to get the Cowboy fans that want to be there.
Don't tell my wife because I am seriously contemplating dropping $5. I can't honestly justify dropping $500 on a ticket, on a single ticket. To go be at this game, but I may have to pull out the plastic.
Yes, so I'm sorry, but I'm leaving now.
Yeah, I decided I'm spending $500 on the ticket. I'm just gonna do it, and I'll work on a street corner for a couple weekends to pay back.
And it's not like it's easy to get the Coliseum where maybe you can pick something up, you know, 10 minutes after the start of the game for $200 or something.
No,
I mean,
it's
the commitment to get from where we are to the Coliseum, you know.
It's a trek, man.
That's going to be an hour and a half just to get there.
Yeah.
And then if you now you're committed, because if you don't get a ticket, now you've got an hour and a half come back. You're missing most of the game.
Oh, God, the decisions I have
or
in
you're
front
going,
of
or
me.
You're going to a sports bar on the USC campus, which on a Saturday night. Good luck
that's
with that.
That's going to, yeah, get it.
You and a bunch of college
door.
Kids. Have fun with that.
All right, so that's where we are. That is a wild card weekend as it happened, as we saw it. Sorry to say, Steve, that unfortunately the Ravens let you down, and the challenge game
is
now officially over. 11-6 is the final, with only 3 weeks left in the season.
Are we not playing the other?
No, we're going to continue.
Okay, I was going
to
say. So
you'll get to pick.
There,
I mean,
there's.
I don't think we should.
At 11-9.
I'm just telling you, we shouldn't be differing on any more games. I'm just telling you now.
We shouldn't get. Yet we've seen our picks.
But we will. But we will. That's true. We shouldn't, but we will. So there you go. But that was good fun. Hey, you can't. Hey, it's your first season out. You didn't really know what the heck this challenge game thing was all about.
And I beat my 2-year-old daughter in the overall record, so that I'm very happy with.
You're happy there.
I warned you at the beginning. That was my biggest fear. Everything else, we'll have fun
with. Now we got the playoffs, which is a little shorter season, and she's got a one-game lead on you.
Yeah,
so.
You just have to point that out, don't you?
Well, you know, you do have two games different from her this week.
So maybe I can make up for it.
I don't know, man. I think her picks are a little bit better than yours.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that.
I'm being a jerk. All right, let's get to coaches, coaches, coaches. Immediately after the offseason, there were 8 coaching vacancies in the NFL. Over the last 48 hours, 6 of them were. I literally was like, you hired one, you hired one, you hired one. Oh, you hired, oh my God, you hired one. So, 6 teams.
I started getting texts about LaFleur. No, that can't be right. They haven't made that decision yet. And sure enough,
they made that decision. Cardinals, Browns, Broncos, Packers, Buccaneers, and most recently, the New York Jets have decided on their head coaches. We're going to talk about those in a second. Let you know that the Cincinnati Bengals and the Miami Dolphins are the two teams that still have head coaching vacancies. They've interviewed a whole bunch of people, both teams, but they're pulling the trigger. Now, I'm not one to, you know, mention race at all, but there were a ton of minority candidates who got fired. So far of these 6, not a single one in the minority neighborhood, which means I doubt the Miami Dolphins are going to lean that way, which means, once again, we're leaving the Cincinnati Bengals to pull up the slack.
Yeah.
Why is it always – it always seems to me it's the Pittsburgh Steelers – the Oakland Raiders, or the Cincinnati Bengals, who are the ones to say, we're going to give a minority candidate a
shot. Is it the rest of the owners saying, all right, you guys do the short straws or what?
I guess. I really don't know, but it always seems that is what's going on. Let's take a look. We'll start at the Arizona Cardinals because this is my biggest head-scratcher.
Yes.
Cliff Kingsbury. He had just taken a job as the offensive coordinator at USC. Now,
Did he even get a house yet?
I don't think he got a house. But here's the thing. Anything that causes USC misery and pain, I'm all for it.
Sure.
Okay?
Yep.
So this is good news for me. They hired an offensive coordinator. They think they got their guy. Then all of a sudden, reports start coming out that USC and Lynn Swan are blocking NFL teams from interviewing Cliff Kingsbury. Now, Cliff had already interviewed for some head coaching jobs before he accepted the OC position, but why, if you've been interviewing, do you accept a position at a college if you think there's even a remote chance of you becoming a head coach in the National Football League?
Because you don't know. Until you know you've got a job. Look, if there was more commitment to these coaches
right.
at either the college or the pro level, I could understand some more commitment to a team from the coach. But these teams can... Arizona had a one-and-done coach.
Yeah.
Hired somebody last year, fired him this year.
Wouldn't that be kind of put you off a little bit? It's like, are you going to do that to me? I mean, because I'm
– so
he's leaving – I think he was leaving a comfortable position at SC. Look, as much as I am not a big fan of USC. If you've got a offensive a coordinator job or a head coaching job for that university, that's pretty prestigious.
Sure.
And it could be, as we've seen with their current head coach, it could be pretty. It could be as long as you want. I mean, they're not firing anybody anytime soon.
So
the Cardinals just showed you they're willing to part ways with somebody after a year.
So what is USC paying an offensive coordinator? $500,000, $750,000 a year?
Yeah, probably $750,000 a year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And yeah.
That's sizable.
It's sizable. In the college ranks, there's going to be all sorts of non-paycheck benefits that these coaches get. So, but let's say it's $750,000. We'll round it up to $1 million with added benefits. They're paying $1 a month for rent at a mansion someplace in the LA area because of a donor or something.
Right.
You know, so we'll play those games with it. What's the going rate for an NFL coach right now? I mean, Gruden said it last year at $10 million
a year. Yeah, he's not commanding $10 million a year right now.
But
it's
if
a
you're
couple
making
million.
Half that, five? So you're looking at a payday of, we'll call it $1 million.
Yeah.
At USC as an offensive
and
coordinator.
And you're doubling, maybe tripling that going to an NFL head coaching job.
Well, I think he's making at least five.
I'm not blaming Kingsbury for taking the job. I think you would be a moron if someone offers you a head coaching job in the NFL and you don't take it. Okay, someone's calling my phone tomorrow and asking me to come coach their football team. I'm sorry, when do I get there?
Yeah, I'll do it for a year.
Yeah,
I'll do it for 6 months.
I'll do it for as long as you want me to.
Yeah,
you know, you want to fire me after 1 year when I don't produce? Okay, but I'm going to show you that. On my way out the door,
I'll ask you, why the hell did you think I was going to produce? But thanks for the paycheck.
Exactly. You know what? I'm serious. You call me. I can lead the team. I will surround myself with coordinators who will take my vision and make it happen.
Yeah.
That I can do.
I will coach the team from the owner's box.
That I can do. Trust me. I have some numbers in my pocket of an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. Hey, you want to come work? You want to work with me? And we will put together a team.
You might have a little authority underneath me to make some decisions.
All right.
Maybe just a little.
Yeah, just a little. And you know, we'll get the job done that way. But
I just love, so the theme with all of these coaches as we go through
offense.
All offense, and not just offense.
With the exception of Vic Fangio.
But quarterback focus.
With Denver. And I'll tell you why they went defense instead of offense.
All right, we'll get there.
I'll give you my philosophy.
But everything, I mean, it's not just offense. It's quarterback coaches, right? So
because all these teams have young quarterbacks except for Green Bay.
Right.
But you're bringing in a guy who he's going to have to work with that quarterback.
Right. Well, in Green Bay, he's not a young, inexperienced quarterback. He's an experienced quarterback that I don't necessarily believe got the level of coaching that he could have gotten under other circumstances.
Or maybe even needed. Maybe he kind of wanted it and wasn't getting it.
Well, that's what I mean. It's not a question of Rodgers' desire to learn more and be a better quarterback. It's how much was the Packers coaching staff giving him.
Right.
Versus just telling him, you know, run this. You know, your receivers are going to run this route. Just throw the ball and we'll be fine. Kingsbury, I mean, if you saw the press release that the Cardinals put out, I mean, Kingsbury is friends with Rams coach Sean McVay.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they are so desperate to anchor these coaches around recently successful coaches.
Yes.
He's not from the McVay coaching tree. He didn't work for Sean. He didn't, you know, he's not his brother-in-law or something where they sit and talk strategy. They're buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many of these coaching candidates are buddies that when they see each other at the Marriott in Irvine, California, that they say, "Hey, sit down and have a beer together."
Right.
Yeah. It's a reach here to say that.
My thing with this hire by the Cardinals is this: Kingsbury, he got hired offensive coordinator job at USC, but he didn't work there, but for 2 days before he left. Previously to that, he got fired from Lubbock, Texas Tech. Right.
Yep.
Oh, you know who he coached there?
Yeah.
Mahomes.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes.
Did he do anything special with Mahomes while he was in Lubbock?
Name a game where Patrick Mahomes became that breakout number one draft pick. How about a bowl game? A big bowl game?
Nothing.
He didn't do anything with the guy. So what was missing there? Like what are the Cardinals seeing in him
that we're not seeing? Because he doesn't have that signature moment that says, wow, that guy's going to be my head coach because he's going to do something special with my offense.
He had a 35-40 record over 5 years with Texas Tech. I mean, he had a losing record with Texas Tech.
Yeah. All right. So that's my first head scratcher.
Big head scratcher.
Then my next head scratcher comes with the New York Jets. They have decided to hire Adam Gase, formerly the head coach of division rival, the Miami Dolphins. So was this a situation where the Jets were like, he beat our ass twice a year?
Maybe he can help us do the same to them.
Yeah, maybe we can beat them twice a year.
Yeah, because a new coach comes in, they're not going to change the way Miami plays. I mean,
for Gase being an offensive-minded head coach, the Dolphins weren't really all that great of an offense. Even when Ryan Tannehill was healthy, Tannehill wasn't putting up any spectacular numbers. And at one point, he had Landry as his wide receiver. And Landry had a great season, but the whole rest of the team as a whole wasn't fantastic. So that's kind of a head-scratcher for me. The Cleveland Browns decided to go with Freddie Kitchens.
Makes sense.
Their offensive coordinator instead of going.
Their golden boy loves him, so.
I understand that, but here's the thing. Greg Williams, the second half of that season when he took over for Hugh, that team was humming. They were playing hard. They were coming after people.
So I don't know. I mean, was so Greg is leaving Cleveland? Is this what I'm hearing?
What I'm hearing is that he is going to be out.
Yeah.
So now you're going to have to bring in a defensive coordinator to continue the success that you had with that defense.
He did a good job with the defense. So it's a shame if he's out.
So how do you feel about Matt LaFleur at Green Bay?
I don't know. Previous
offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, so his year with the Titans is pretty tough to judge because you didn't really have a quarterback of health.
Right.
I don't think he was making any play calls this year. So I don't know that we can judge his ability based on the year that's finishing
work.
Up with the Titans. His work before that, yeah, not bad. I mean, it has some flashes of brilliance, has some big question marks. He was on the Rams for a year. McVay's first year when they really broke out as an offense once they moved here to LA. So there are some good signs in there, but there are a lot of big question marks. So I think this is going to fall into who does he bring around? He's apparently saving Pettine on the defense, so we're going to get some consistency there. Again, a little too early to judge whether that's the right decision on the defense yet. They got a little bit better, but staffing, everything else. So we'll see. I'm willing to wait and see. At the end of the day, this is all going to fall on the president of the Packers,
right?
Because he's the one making these decisions, right? Okay. So no matter what the coaching staff, whatever happens, it's not the coach, it's not Gutekunst, the GM. It's all going to fall on the president.
Okay.
So
finally, the Denver Broncos hired Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears. Here's why I think the Broncos went defense instead of like everybody else is going offense. Offensive-minded coach, that's what we want, because right now the NFL is all about offenses. Why did the Denver Broncos then decide to bring in a defensive coordinator? Here's my thought now. This is just purely opinion and speculation. It's not fact. But here's my opinion. John Elway wants to mold the offense the way he wants to mold the offense.
Yep.
And he's like, if I bring an offensive-minded head coach in here, he's going to want to mold the offense his way.
If you're hiring a quality guy, he's going to want to take ownership of it.
So this way, John Elway gets a solid hire, defensive-minded. They got a good nucleus base of defensive players that he can help shape and mold. He can focus on that defense and make it solid, make it great again. And then John Elway has a little bit more creative control of what he could do offensively on the offensive side of the ball.
Have they made any decisions on offensive coordinator, or is that still
not yet? They're still searching and hiring.
So that'll be the interesting one.
Yeah. So it's going to be
who's going to make the offensive play calls, right? I mean, it's likely not going to be Fangio.
It won't. Yeah, it'll be.
So you've got the offensive coordinator, or is it? I mean, I have a hard time believing it's going to be Elway.
No, but he's going. I think he will have an offensive coordinator that he can work with, and you know they can decide. Okay, this is how we want to move the ball. This is what we're going to do. I think the first thing the Denver Broncos have to do is what are we going to do at quarterback?
Right. Yep.
Right. So he's going to want an offensive coordinator who will agree with him and what they're going to do at the quarterback position.
Well, he doesn't need an offensive coordinator to agree. He can just make those
decisions.
Well,
that's true. He's the GM. He can
do what he wants,
but
and just tell
he can
the
kind of
OC.
Mold them and be like, okay, this is the quarterback we're bringing in.
Sure. Yep.
This is how you're going to work around him.
So if the CBS cameras spend all next season seeing the offensive coordinator speaking into the microphone while looking at his cell phone, we know that John is sending text messages to make play calls.
There you go. There you go. All right. So we'll hold off and find out who the Cincinnati Bengals and the Miami Dolphins are going to hire. I did tell Trisha. I did get Trisha's permission, by the way. If I wanted to throw my name into the ring as a possibility to at least get, you know, maybe a phone call, that she would be okay with that.
Okay. So for Miami or for
Cincinnati?
Oh, okay.
Yes. And possibly, you know, I could call Bruce and be like, hey, coach, can I come be your special teams coach?
Sure.
See what he has to say about that.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
I do wish you – I haven't even asked my wife.
No?
No.
Would you ask her, though?
No.
No? It's like, geez,
no. No, absolutely not. unless I could get an apartment close to the stadium.
So that's what it'd be like the whole family wouldn't move. Well, Trisha's made it clear the whole family wouldn't move.
Right,
they would stay here.
Yeah,
I would go out there to coach.
Wondering if I could just take a leave of absence for 9 months from my.
Do you think my job would allow me to do that?
I'm gonna take a. I mean, we're in California.
I need to
we
take
might
a
have
sabbatical.
Those
yeah, that's right. I take a sabbatical.
I'm gonna just leave for 9 months. I want my job back when I come back. Well, what are you gonna do? You're gonna go to the Alps and do some meditation? No, I'm gonna go coach the Bengals for a season. They'll fire me. I'll be back.
If I do well enough, they don't fire me. Then I'll call you and you can give my job
exactly.
Away. But for now,
if somehow I get a second season out of this gig.
Oh, my goodness. Too much fun over the first half of this show. But that's it. Cardinals got Kingsbury. Browns got Kitchens. Broncos have Fangio. Packers have LaFleur. Buccaneers have Bruce Arians. So I didn't really talk about it. Give me just 1 second on that one. And the New York Jets have Adam Gase. All I want to say about Bruce Arians is, look, I love Bruce Arians. I love his philosophy. I think that, you know, him coming back to coaching is great. My only concern and my only problem with this hire is, how long is it for?
Yeah.
Because I got a team that's already been going through a lot of turmoil as far as coaching is concerned. So, you know, Bruce, we know he's had some health issues. He's, you know, he went away. That's why he left the Cardinals. And now he's healthy again. And he's great. Are we getting Arians for, let's say, at a minimum 4 years? Are we getting him for 4 years? We're getting him for 4 years, and I think this is great because he's already said – Jameis Winston is our guy. We're going to build around Jameis Winston because I think that's what Jameis has needed. He has needed to know this is my team and they're build the pieces they're putting in place are for me to work with.
He's a season, 2 seasons, and then he's done.
Yeah,
like,
then
is he bringing some stabilization to it, getting a good offensive coordinator that's the heir apparent next season or the season after?
Right. That's probably might be a mistake. And so I think that's what we're going to have to look in the long term with Bruce Arians with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We wish him well.
Is it long term? Yeah. We hope he stays healthy. We hope he stays there for a long time because Bruce Arians in the league again, that's really, really good. Four games. The final weekend of football where we have games on Saturday and Sunday. Jeff used to argue this was the best weekend in football because there are games on Saturday and Sunday. And I always argued it's the Super Bowl. That's the best. It's just a day. It's not a whole weekend. But actually, when we were covering it, it was a whole weekend because we were there for the whole weekend. Right.
Yep.
So,
see, and I like the wild card weekend because by now you've I mean, we expect things to settle down a bit.
Right.
Now we've got the 1 and 2 seeds back in. Wild card weekend is the unexpected.
You got 2 sixes here.
I know.
You got
two. That's why the wild card weekend was fun.
Sixes.
Yeah, I was 2 and 2, but that was because I was surprised.
Right.
I was pretty confident in my picks last week.
Yeah.
I mean, I argued hard for that Baltimore win.
And
fell flat on my face, rightfully so. So, I
are you confident about your picks this week?
No, not at all. Not
because I'm looking at them right now. I'm going to work hard. This is going to be my goal over the next 30 minutes to make sure that at least one of the games you and I differ on, I get you to change. That's going to be my goal.
All right,
and we'll start with the early game on Saturday. 1:35 p.m. Pacific time, the Indianapolis Colts travel to Kansas City to face the Chiefs.
So
all right.
The Chiefs are 5.5 favorites, right?
Yeah, that is correct. 1 versus 6. Kansas City's favored by basically a touchdown, 6.5. They have to win by a touchdown. I see your pick. And I was leaning towards that in the beginning. But then I'll tell you why. And I'm going to tell you why you should not pick the Indianapolis Colts.
All right, let's hear it.
Why you should change to the Kansas City Chiefs. At home, at Arrowhead, that is a crazy place to play.
Mm-hmm.
For a wild card game, you got to multiply that by 10, which puts it at an extreme level for the opponent. In this case, the Colts. The Chiefs, they had a couple games there near the end where they kind of like didn't really put up the 40-plus points, but they were still scoring 30-plus points. And although the Colts have been on a tremendous run of late, they've literally been playing playoff football since about week 10. That's the kind of football that that catches up to you eventually.
Right.
And with the Kansas City Chiefs having that one game, having the one seed, having gotten that rest, they're fresh, they're coming, they're going to come out of the home. I do believe the Kansas City Chiefs put 40-plus on Indianapolis. And Andrew Luck is going to be forced to have to match that. That means that he knows every time he gets onto the football field, he's going to have to score points. Because the Kansas City Chiefs are going to score points every time they're on the football field.
So the over-under is 57.
That's what I'm talking about. Every time I got the ball, this is Andrew Luck's mentality. Every time I have the football, I have to score points because the Chiefs are going to score points. They can't get into a shootout with Kansas City. If they get into the shootout, which I expect them to expect it to be,
so 57 is 28-27.
Yeah, it's not going to be
29-28. Right,
it's going to be more like
both teams can be under 30, and you know, so your assertion that the Chiefs are going to drop 40 on the Colts.
Yes.
I'm not saying it can't happen, but at a 57 over-under, you got a lot
You're
of people
expecting.
Saying that they're not going to go that high.
30.
So for me, look, last week we saw every one of our rookie quarterbacks fall flat on their face.
Yes.
And I mean, Trubisky had a hell of a week in that loss, right? If you really look at his stats, I mean, if you look at his box score, if you told me the box score before the game and said, do you think they win or lose? I mean, it's no question they would have won that game based on what you saw in the box score. So
he didn't have a bad game. They did not lose the game because of Trubisky.
Falling flat on their face is the wrong phrase. But,
right.
But all of our rookie quarterbacks
losing.
Lost. So now we've got one more to go here.
Yep.
Who obviously has been a rock star this year.
Yes.
And clearly has some athletic talent that we haven't seen in a long time in the NFL. So I'm not doubting that the Chiefs aren't going to play well, but my fear is that they're going to play well for a half. They're going to go up by 14 at halftime, and then they're going to put it on cruise control.
And the Colts know how to come back because they've
done
it.
And the Colts have the ability to come back.
Yes.
Like if it was the Bears, I'm switching divisions here, I get it, but if it was some of the other teams out there, if it was the Ravens, I don't see them making this comeback. But the Colts definitely could make a comeback if the Chiefs put it on cruise control. Like if they start running the ball, if they start playing possession football, 2-3 plays, suddenly you've got Andrew Luck back into a tie game, and now suddenly you're trying to restart that fire when the crowd is out of it.
Here's how I look at these games in the playoffs. I look at the talent.
Yeah.
Especially offensively. You got Kelsey, who's arguably the best tight end here. Even though Eric Ebron has been playing spectacular football for the Colts, I'm going to take Kelsey. You got the fastest guy in the National Football League in Tyreek Hill. The Chiefs also have Sammy Watkins, so they've got great wide receiver options. The Williams brothers at running back position have been phenomenal filling in for Kareem Hunt since his departure. And you've got Patrick Mahomes, who I think right now, of the 8 quarterbacks left, is probably the best, playing at the best right now. So you've got all of that talent at home with an environment that's going to be purely for them.
Yep.
Is going to be unstoppable. And I don't care that he is a rookie. He has not looked like a rookie. He is not act. Well, he's not a rookie. This is the second year. He sat last year. So we're calling him a rookie. This is his first start
in the playoffs.
In the playoffs, but he's not a rookie. He's not acting like a first year starter. He hasn't looked like a first year starter. His numbers are nowhere near what a first year starter usually has.
All very good and valid points.
This is a different football team. When they play at home, they're going to come out loose. They're going to come out fresh. And they're going to run all over the Indianapolis Colts and score a bunch of points. And it might very well be where they get so far ahead that they eliminate the running game for the Indianapolis Colts, which has helped Andrew Luck. His play-action passes has been successful. They might not have that option because they might have to be pass, playing catch-up. And I think that's what ruined the Colts.
All right. Yeah, I'm actually sticking with my Colts pick. I have at the beginning of the season questioned both of these teams. I have in the middle of the season and at the end of the season questioned both of these teams. Both have surprised me at the resiliency to play well. I agree completely. The Chiefs are the better holistic team, and especially at home. For some reason, I'm seeing the Colts wanting it more.
Right.
I don't know. So
one last thing.
One
last thing. Are you ready for this? Nice, lost it. I had one. Let's tell you, this one of those nights. I had the point, and then it just went away. It flittered.
And like that, it was gone, yes.
Just like that. No, wait, one more thing. The Kansas City Chiefs, in this game, it went away again. What am I trying to say? Give it to me.
I have absolutely no idea where you're going. If I knew, I probably would be picking the Chiefs.
I've got the Chiefs. But you and Lady Edith, what is up with Lady Edith and all these road teams? You know she took all the road teams last week?
Yeah.
And she was 3-1.
And beat me, yes. I was not thrilled with that.
Okay, so you guys have the Colts. I am staying with the Kansas City Chiefs. I am going to give you a friendly piece of advice. Don't make this your challenge game.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Cool, good.
I mean, you know the other game we're different.
Don't make that one your challenge game either, because I think you're really wrong on that one, but that's okay. And that's the next one. The Dallas Cowboys are coming out here to Los Angeles to face the Rams. Trisha, are you in a position where you could come in here? All right, Trisha's. We're getting Trisha over here. Hold on one second. I'm getting chastised for sleepy children. Talk into Steve's mic. We're getting ready to talk about Dallas Rams game here in LA. And
I feel like I'm getting set up.
I took no part in this. I promise.
I feel like I'm getting set up.
All right. So I just want you to say, I think that I've just been convinced that I need to spend about $450 to $500 for a ticket to go to the game.
I know Steve, and I don't think he's the one that convinced you, so I'm wondering who convinced you.
Nacho.
Nacho didn't say anything.
Yes, he did. He did. You want me to show you?
No, I saw. That's not convincing. That's just asking a question.
Man, Nacho, I was trying to throw you under the bus.
And if Nacho's not careful, I'm going to get Paloma on his
Oh, sorry, Nacho. Forget it. Now we're getting your wife involved. I'm just telling you this, an option. I think I may have to put plastic out, and then I will work part-time somewhere, like on a street corner, to earn the money to pay it back.
How does one portray eye rolling over a microphone?
I'm just telling you it's an option, right? Is it an option, hon?
No comment.
There you go. See, that's what I'm dealing with right now.
And
trying to get...
You were trying to throw me under the bus on that one.
I said nothing about you. I said...
I was just convinced that I should drop.
But did I say that you were the one who convinced me?
The implication was
clear.
Oh, that's,
yes. That was the implication, yes.
Thankfully, your wife knows me well enough to know that I wouldn't do that.
The implication. All right. Cowboys, Rams.
So tell me why your Cowboys are going to beat the Rams.
Because I think if you look at the Rams over the last 5 weeks of the season, their offense was not as dominant as it was in the beginning of the year. And I really love, and I mean when I'm talking about love, the way the Dallas Cowboys defense is playing right now. That front, the Cowboys are getting pressure at the quarterback without having to do too much blitzing. But when they do blitz, they get home. I think they're going to hit Jared Goff. They're going to hit him often. They're going to do to Goff and the Rams offense what the Bears did. They're going to knock them off their game. They're going to shorten the game by running Zeke. They're going to pound Zeke. It's going to be a Zeke Elliott game. I think Zeke rushes for a buck 50 or more. I think he scores a couple times. And I think by shortening the football game and getting that defense after Jared Goff, look, the Rams have not been the same since Cooper Kupp went down.
Without question, yep.
And I think that goes to the advantage of the Dallas Cowboys. And I think it's going to be a defensive game. The Cowboys know what they are now. They finally decided we know what we are. First part of the season when they were 3-5 and everybody left them for dead, they were trying to find out what the hell are we. And the minute they decided this is the type of team we are, we're going to play stout defense. We're going to bend but don't break. We're going to let you get yards, but in the end, we're going to stuff it down. We're going to make you kick field goals. And then we on offense are going to run the ball. We're going to pop you with quick passes. Amari Cooper's addition has been fantastic. I think the Cowboys will neutralize the Sue and Donald combination of their rush by making Dak get rid of the ball quickly, and that is going to be the advantage. All the advantage that the Cowboys need, they will win this game.
So it's interesting because as far as I can tell, if you look at both the last 4 weeks of the Rams and the last 4 weeks of the Chiefs, they have very similar results the last couple weeks of the season. Neither one, they're both 2-2. The losses that each had were to playoff teams.
Yes.
And then they blew out other teams, but in both cases, their production was down. Yet the Chiefs are going to roll and the Rams are...
If I'm not mistaken, I don't have the scores in front of me, but even in the losses, I think the Chiefs were scoring points. In the Rams' losses,
28 and 31, then there are two losses.
There you go. I mean, that's scoring points.
6 and 23 for the Rams.
Rams weren't scoring that many points.
Against the Bears, they did not, right?
And
the Eagles, they put up 23, which
to the Eagles?
I mean, that's low without question,
right,
from normal production, but they still put up points against the Eagles.
I think my difference is, yeah, the Chiefs got those two losses.
But it was the Bears. And I'm sorry, the Bears' defense is a step above everyone. I mean, I'm not disputing that Dallas is rocking it on defense right now.
Yeah,
Bears all season were a step above everyone else on defense.
I think the Cowboys' defense has reached that level of play. I mean, there's two ways that the Rams have to going to come at the Cowboys. If they come at the Cowboys with, look, we got a fresh Gurley. He hasn't played for the last several weeks. Now he's back on the field. We're going to try to pound you with Gurley. I think the Cowboys can stop that.
Right. Yep, I agree.
The Cowboys' weakness on defense that I've seen only is the deep ball. But I don't think that the Rams are going to want to try and utilize that too often. Yeah, they'll take their deep shots. But you can't go to that well over and over again.
Right.
And I think that is where it plays into the Cowboys, especially if that rush gets at Jared Goff. Because Jared Goff, he doesn't like getting hit.
No. No, he does not.
The pocket seems to collapse a little bit quicker after he's been taking some of those hits. I think that, yeah, so I see what you're trying to do with the Chiefs and the Rams. And, yeah, they were similar record-wise. I still think Kansas City was still – their offense was still humming quite a bit. The Rams offensively, even in their win, I think the you said they were 2-2. I think one of those wins, they still struggled.
I'm sorry, the Rams?
Yeah, those final four games. Who were the two wins against? I think they beat Arizona in the final.
The two wins were Arizona and San Francisco.
Right.
And they beat Arizona 31-9 and San Francisco 48-32. So they didn't.
The San Francisco was a beatdown one. The Arizona one, I think it was 31-9, but I think in the beginning.
It was close for the first half. By the time we, yeah.
So it's going to be a great game.
Yeah.
And I still have a lot of convincing to do. Obviously, you heard the misses.
Yeah. Yes.
There's still a lot of convincing to do.
You got a few more days to work on that, but not long. You got to make a decision and pull that trigger sooner rather
than
later.
That's true. That's true.
Look, so with the Rams, last year, I think, I guess what we're going to see here is McVay the real thing?
Yeah.
So is McVay really the architect and student of football that we all portray him to be? Because if he is, I think he corrects the mistakes of last year, and they come out with a game plan to beat the Bears the Cowboys defense, and I think Dallas is in trouble. So last year, team goes 13-3 regular season. And then they come out, they host Atlanta and lose 26-13. Everybody took the day off, the week off. They relaxed. They didn't start their starters the last week of the season. They did what you would expect of trying to get that team healthy for the playoffs. And when they came out against the Falcons, they just looked flat. And I don't see McVay making that same mistake 2 years in a row. He didn't rest his starters last week of the season and took that beat down on the 49ers. I think this year he's got that team clicking. They come out with a game plan, and I think they're going to end up railroading Dallas.
Wow, you think it's going to be like a beatdown?
Well, I just maybe not a full beatdown, but just I don't know that Dallas is ever in the game. You know, Rams go out, score a quick 14-3 or something like that. And it doesn't get any closer than that, but the Rams don't necessarily extend after that. That the shock and awe of the first couple possessions, that Dallas's offense just can't recover from that. So I'm pretty confident in my Rams pick. I hate to go against your Cowboys on the challenge game, but
ooh, is that going to be the challenge game too?
Well, what are my options so far? Both of these games, but
India at KC or Dallas at the Rams. Yeah, well, you probably will want to.
And in Indy, I'm picking the underdog.
Yeah.
In this game, I've got what appears to be a pretty strong favorite.
What is the line now? Is it over a touchdown? I'm trying to
last
come
I saw
up
it
with
was
right now.
7, wasn't it? Yeah, 7 at the moment.
Wow. So there, I mean, it's slim pickings for the tickets at the game right now. Very slim pickings.
This is why I'm carrying the show right now, because somebody's shopping for football tickets as we record. So,
I'm not shopping. I'm browsing.
You are browsing. You are walking down Main Street, looking at the shop windows over Christmas, saying, "Oh, that ticket for $800 looks good."
$800. Oh my god.
That ticket for $950.
Here's
an
end zone ticket at like row 46 for $400.
All right.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, no, so I'm looking at the odds, and it looks like the Rams are favored by?
7.
7, so it's a touchdown. I'll take that.
Okay.
You want to give me the 7 points?
No. No, because it wouldn't surprise me if it is that close. I just think the Rams leap out to a bit of a start here in the first possession or two, when they've got a game plan put out there before they have to start reacting a little bit more to Dallas.
Right.
And I think they jump out to a lead. Yeah, Dallas gets themselves back into it, but they never really get into it. You know, they're fighting from behind the entire time.
I think you're wrong on that. I think you're wrong. I think if anything, if the Rams are to win, I think they're the ones that are going to have to come back and do it.
Look, for the sake of your fandom of your team, I hope I'm wrong.
This is not about fandom. I'm just telling you what's coming out.
Well, sure,
this defense is
fandom.
Going to smack them down.
Are
a
you
bit.
Not wanting the Cowboys to win?
But I'm taking when I make my analysis of this game, I've taken my fandom out of it. I really
well,
do
I,
believe.
I understand that you are breaking down the Cowboys.
Yes.
As what am I trying to say? As not independently, but
as non-biased as I can be.
Yes, unbiased as you possibly can.
Right.
But as a fan, much like me with the Packers, there's always going to be a little bias in there, but we'll just assume that's a completely unbiased decision.
Yeah.
So my comment of, I'm not rooting against the Cowboys. For the sake of you as a fan, I hope that your analysis of this game is more accurate than mine, but I'm still confident in my analysis.
All right, that's good. That's good. Lady Edith, again, just like the last 4 weeks, has broken my heart.
Yeah, she hasn't had a good couple weeks here with her anti-Dallas.
She's got the Rams again.
I think it's because you did not get her a Rams jersey a Cowboys jersey for Christmas that she's just taking it out on you now.
Yeah.
By picking against
her team. Had I gotten her the collar, like, you would have let her wear it.
No, she wouldn't have worn it.
Yes.
She got a hand-me-down Packers hoodie yesterday, and she has been in that thing for two straight days.
That's crazy. All right, moving on. Sunday games, the early game, 10:05 a.m. Pacific time. The Los Angeles Chargers travel to New England to face the Patriots. And the Evil Empire. I am going out on a limb. Are you ready for this, Steve?
I am. Let's hear.
Tom Brady's final game.
Wow, that's...
ever.
Now, just
the
just
Chargers
they...
are going to come in there and beat them down so badly, he's done.
He just says, I'd rather sit poolside.
I'd rather just enjoy the rest of my life with Giselle and my children and just be cool Tom. Didn't have to endure the hits that I am going to take by Melvin Ingram and Bosa and everybody that the Chargers are going to throw at me. Look, they're going to come after Tom because Anthony Lynn knows one thing, hit Tom Brady.
Right. You have seen Tom, all quarterbacks struggle with up the middle pass rush.
Yes.
But Tom is especially susceptible to that. So.
Yes. How many times did they sack Lamar Jackson? Seven times? Eight times?
Yeah.
Something like that?
It was a lot. and I think in this case, I mean, they've got enough of their linebackers injured on the Chargers.
Yeah.
That even if they decided they wanted to play a different game plan, I think they almost have to, just for injury purposes, do what they did against the Ravens.
Yes.
And they're going to use them differently. It won't be the same. But they'll be more of a pass rush than a run contain.
Yeah, and they're going to come. I just think they're going to come after Tom Brady. And once again, you know, just what I did with Indianapolis and the Chiefs. You take a look at the stars, the talent on the offensive side of the ball, and the Patriots are all on the older side. You know, you start with your signal caller, and Tom Brady is great, and we know that, but. He is much older. He certainly is, heck, nowhere near as mobile as Lamar Jackson was. So if they infiltrate and get into the backfield and get in his face, he's not going to be able to get away.
Right.
Edelman's older.
He's had some rest here, yeah.
Gronk has been a shell of himself all season long. I mean, let's face it. He's just not the same tight end that he has been in the past. And they, you know, White and Sony Michel, that they're not the best running backs. I mean, the core that the Chargers, I think right now, outside of of Ezekiel and Rod Smith, the combination of Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler is a great combo of running back that the Chargers have. And you got Phillip Rivers throwing the ball as well as he has thrown it all year. Certainly with Williams and, of course, Keenan Allen. I just like everything that the Chargers have offensively. I think they go into New England and they say, look, for 10 years, people have asked that someone take the mantle from you, and this time somebody doesn't, it's going to be us, and the Chargers are going to get it done.
I mean, without question, I agree. There's more superstar talent on the Chargers.
Yes.
But if there's a team out there that's made, you know, lemonade out of sour lemons.
Yes.
It's been the Patriots. They've had average talent across the board, average to above average talent across the board, and made a dynasty out of this.
Yes.
And they've been incredibly successful. So the question is that the line is 4.
Yes.
Patriots favored by 4.
Give me the Chargers and 4 points.
Well, if you take away if somehow you could wipe out the last 15 years of history for either of these teams and you just looked at the current year, would that be a 4-point spread? Like, how much of that 4-point spread is everybody looking at
history
and saying, it's the Patriots?
Yes.
I mean, you joke around about if you wipe away all their Super Bowls, what, 5, 6 for the Patriots? Nothing for the Chargers. You know, I think there's a lot of the history that you've seen with the Patriots in the last 15 years that is driving this line. And I fully agree that the Chargers are the better team. It's whether or not they can replicate the success in the game plan that they had last week.
The only thing that I'm going to give advantage to New England is the snow. They're anticipating
like 6 inches?
Up to 6 inches of snow, and it is going to be like 25 degrees at the start of game time. Once again, the NFL favors to the freaking Chargers. They're saying, oh, you just played at this time last week? Well, guess what? You have to play at this time again. Now, it didn't affect them last week, but at some point.
I will argue it did, but the coaching game plan
offset a lot of that.
So
that's going to be interesting to watch. That snow, the whole weather situation.
Yep. But I think that then favors a ground game.
Yes.
It favors the pass rush, which I think the Chargers have the leg up there.
Yeah.
And it favors the rushing game, which I think clearly favors the Chargers. So I think what they'll lose by being cold and in the snow, they gain by it favors their strengths.
Right.
And it takes Brady's arm, because, I mean, Brady's not going to scramble anywhere.
Yeah.
The Patriots running game is okay, but they win on Brady's arm.
Yeah.
And with that much snow, that's going to be largely negated.
It's going to be an interesting game to watch. We all have the Chargers except for Lady Edith, she's just decided she is picking against everybody I pick. She and I have not agreed on a single game yet. She's got New England and make it 4-for-4 coming up here in a minute. Let's move on to the final game of divisional weekend. The Philadelphia Eagles, fresh off their last-second heroics against the Chicago Bears, travel to New Orleans to face the Saints. And she has fallen in love with that Eagle because she's taking Philly.
Yeah, she's – I don't know why. She must feel the magic.
The Nick Foles.
One thing
magic.
I wanted to mention, if they happen to win this week against the Saints,
yes,
do we then have to, for next week's show, call them defending Super Bowl championship champions because they're back in the championship game?
Yeah, they are.
Right?
They
so
are.
At some point, you kind of, I mean, if they win this game, I'm not going to do it this week.
Yeah.
But if they win this week and they're playing next week,
we may have to
give now, credit where credit is due and start referring them again as Super Bowl champions.
So I'm going to tell you
when you're one game away from the Super Bowl, it's hard not to, right?
When, notice I'm using the word when and not if. When Dallas beats the Rams on Saturday night.
Yes.
I will cheer for the Eagles to beat the Saints.
Of course.
Because that means they have to come to Dallas for the NFC Championship game. That I want to see.
And my only challenge there is if somehow the Eagles knock off the Bears in Chicago, the Saints in New Orleans, I don't know the – I mean, I have no idea how they won last week, and if they I have no idea how they're going to beat the Saints this week.
Right.
But if somehow they do –
how could you not pick them?
Well, how could you be comfortable, right?
I would be totally comfortable.
Sure you would. So are the Bears fans and so are the Saints fans. So
I would be comfortable because we've already beat them twice this year.
Yeah, okay.
You know, we got your number right now. You have to come and try to come back into our house and beat us. We beat you twice already. It would be one heck of a game, I'll tell you that much. You know what? I would forgo. I should call Trisha back in here. I would forgo going to this Rams game to going to Dallas for Dallas hosting the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's too bad that the two NFC games aren't different, that you're seeing the Eagles and Saints on Saturday, so that if the Eagles happen to beat the Saints, that you then just say, nope, I'm not going to go down and pick up a ticket at the Coliseum because
That's right.
So confident Dallas is going to beat the Rams that – You're gonna take all that money for a flight and a ticket at Cowboys.
That would be crazy. Well, see, because that would work. Look, I got a place to stay. My brother lives 20 minutes from the stadium.
Sure.
I got Southwest credits. I got a free ticket
that
I could get to the game. It would just be getting the ticket. Now the great thing about NFC Championship game at Dallas is you can get one of those standing room only tickets for like $80.
Yeah,
and then I'm just at the stadium. I don't care. I'm going to be standing for the whole game anyways. Right. I don't mind the standing for the whole game.
You just have to compete with the Stampede as soon as they open the door.
God, did you see that last
week?
Yes,
I did.
Oh,
that was
crazy.
Like, that was Black Friday pictures from 15 years ago. That was insane.
That is crazy. All right, Philadelphia at New Orleans. And my question to you is because I'm taking the Saints, Lady Edith's taking the Eagles. Literally, she and I differed on all four games. I'm nervous because she was 3-1, just like I was last week. So there you go. But how does Philadelphia come in and beat New Orleans? How do they do that? Outside of Nick Foles and Saint Nick or Happy Nick or Merry Christmas or whatever you're trying to call him, outside of him having just a phenomenal game, how do they go?
Look, because even if he has a phenomenal game, how do they win?
They got boat raced 40-7.
Yeah,
earlier this year.
So
Jason Peters?
Didn't he say that the
Saints were running up the score on us?
Right. When we were talking about this before the show, of my four picks, I'm not necessarily confident on too many of them. Right. There are an argument can easily be made on the case of any of the teams to win. You know, clearly you've got some strong feelings on Dallas. I've got strong feelings on Indy. It should be the home teams winning across the board.
Right.
Right. The one team that maybe is in question is that Patriots-Chargers game. But the rest of them, Kansas City, Rams, and the Saints are all heavy favorites and should be winning these games by all rights. But we've made arguments why Indy and Dallas could win their games.
Right.
I don't have an argument for why the Eagles should win this game. I see no way that they win this game. But it's the one that if I'm wrong, I'm not surprised. I won't be able to explain why. It's a Christmas miracle is the only thing you can say is because I don't see how they do it. I don't see that there's more talent. There's more firepower. It's in a dome. It's in Seattle or in New Orleans on turf. I don't see how the Eagles compete in this game.
And it's a playoff game. So New Orleans is going to be crazy up in that place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see how they do it either. I got the Saints. I think Drew Brees is fired up. Remember the last time they were the number one seed and they had home field throughout the playoffs, they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, that's as simple as it is. Here's the thing, though. I'm just looking at these. I have taken two road teams, and it's one NFC team, one AFC team. You've taken two road teams, but they're both the AFC teams. That would make you nervous a little bit if I were you. I'm just looking at
sure,
it from your side. That I decided that the two road teams I'm going – because, look, should the home teams win all these games? Sure. How often has that happened? Right, not very often. No. Like, I think in the last 15 years, divisional round, I think only once have all four home teams won. It does not happen very often.
Right. And without question, I mean, we've got eight teams left here, and all are good.
Yes.
So, I mean, all of our bashing here of Philly and how just don't see how they play with the Saints.
Right.
Give them where credit is due. They're 10-7, and they're in the divisional round. So
right.
they have somehow, from a season that was lost 4 or 5 weeks ago, they've somehow gotten into the divisional round.
Well,
so
lately,
give credit where credit is due. All these teams are good teams. So against the general NFL population, all eight of these teams would be winning a lot of games. But now you're down to just the eight best teams.
Right.
Arguments can be made there, but yeah. you're really down to the best eight teams. So anything can happen.
Right.
Right? I mean, if Mahomes wakes up that morning and just has butterflies for the first time in his life and has no idea what he's going to do, Indy runs away with that score.
I like that, butterflies.
If somehow McVay let his guys play in the, I think we were looking at surfing today, it was 7 to 11 foot waves here in L.A. If he let his guys go have an afternoon down on the beach and some morons go out play in the ocean and get carried away, and we're hearing tonight Coast Guard is going after him, yeah, Dallas is going to win that game. I mean, there are so many things that could happen
right.
that, yeah, we've got a favorite, a team that seems stronger, but anything can happen in the playoffs.
It's going to be fun. Going to be a fun weekend. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're not doing anything on Saturday and I don't go to the game, you should come over and we should watch that game. Are you going to make it to the challenge game? Unless you make it the challenge game. No, I won't watch it with you.
It's the only game I can make the challenge game.
Wait, what's wrong with Indianapolis, Kansas City?
Because that's, yeah, I...
I like
you. My gut, see, facial expressions don't work well on audio is what we're saying again, right?
Yeah, Trisha's like, how do I do an eye roll on audio? And sorry, sweetie, it's not
womp,
TV.
Womp. No, it's, without question, I've got to make that Dallas Rams game the challenge game.
No, there you go. I'll put it down. That's the challenge game. I've got the Cowboys on the road. You've got the Rams. You got a 7-point favorite. I tell you what, Las Vegas is freaking wrong. This is going to be a field goal game. The Cowboys are not getting boat raced.
No, I would agree. You've got me sold on that.
Yeah. It's a field goal game.
They're going to be shocked at the beginning, but they'll work their way back
in. They're going to be shocked at the beginning. All right, folks, that's all the time we got. That is the challenge game, Dallas at Los Angeles versus the Rams. Steve has the Rams. I have the Cowboys. Come on, I got the Cowboys in the Super Bowl, so I got to roll with them all
of
the way to the end.
Of course you do, yes.
Of course I do. Of course I do. And right now it's looking like L.A. Dallas is where I'm headed. I'm headed towards Chargers Cowboys in the Super Bowl now. And right now, even though the Cowboys and the Chargers have to do it by playing on the road, man, that would be a good story to tell at
yes,
the end
would.
Of the season. Wherever you are once again and however you're listening to the show, thank you very much. I'm Stephen Miranda.
I'm Steve Fry.
And this has been NFL Rants and Raves. Have a great divisional weekend. We're out.